Hello again, everyone. Yes, our talk tonight is on nutriment. The Pali word for that is ahara, A-H-A-R-A. And the Buddha actually gave some significant amount of time to this topic. You find this pretty in a number of places throughout the suttas. And there is actually a particular sutta called the Ahara Sutta, where the Buddha lays out the four different kinds of nutriments, which we'll get into in just a bit. Maybe just an overall kind of frame before we get into the specific different kinds of nutriment. When we're thinking about nutriment, we want to think about that there's two kinds. Like you might even say two kinds of food: nutritious food and junk food. Okay, just like edible food can be nutritious, or it could be junk food. A word that I'm going to be using throughout the talk is citta, Pali word C-I-T-T-A, and it's an aspect of the mind. So in Pali, two words get used to describe the mind. One is manos, and that refers to the intellectual part of the mind, the part of the mind that figures things out, like that. And then the citta is a part of the mind that is more feeling. Sensitive, emotive, that part. And for that reason, often the English word that gets used instead of mind for citta to translate it to is heart, because it's got that feeling quality. Another word I'm going to be using is passion. Pali, that's raga, R-A-G-A. Sometimes, you know, if you look in a Pali dictionary, it's going to be translated as lust. But lust for us can have a kind of more of a narrow connotation to it, where passion could be passionate about a lot of things. Yeah. And so there's a particular relationship between passion and the citta. The citta gets impassioned, right? So we're impassioned with something. We have passion for something. And we can have passion for all sorts of things, you know, this fill in the blank. And it can be, you know, somewhat mild to like very intense. You know, let's say we're really like, we have a lot of passion for, say, opera music, right? And we're really like into it, like, and I know all the sopranos, and I know their names, and I know their backgrounds, and I'm gonna follow them as they. I'm gonna go to the Met, and I'm gonna follow them as they tour Europe, and you know, I'm gonna buy these tickets, and we can get really impassioned about things. So much so, the citta can get so impassioned with something, and kind of like be so, kind of like tunnel visioned on it. It's so impassioned with it that it loses its reflective capacity. Remember in the sitting, for those of you in the sitting, and I said, well, reflect, how is it now? That's the citta's, the mind's ability to reflect back and know, how is this? That quality of the mind, if it couldn't do that, we couldn't get free. We couldn't attain nibbana. And when the citta is really impassioned with something, it loses that reflective capacity. Just, it's not available. It's so impassioned. It's so down a rabbit hole that it can't stop and turn and reflect, how is this? Which is why passion isn't, like, we don't want too much of it. It's not, you know, on the Buddhist path, it's not really a great thing. And also, when the citta is really impassioned, it kind of doesn't have the capacity to know what's good for it. I like to think of this as like a little kid, maybe a 3 or 4 year old. You know, like at the checkout counters at stores, they always have this like wall of candy, you know, and there's always like these colors and it's so very attractive. And that little 3 or 4 year old is like, like, whoa, right? That's passion. Oh, I want that. I want to go towards that. That's caught my attention. I am like zoned into that. That little 3 or 4 year old doesn't know anything that's going around them at that moment. They don't know nothing except that. That's really being impassioned. That's a good example of what is being pointed at. There's a simile that gets used, a very common simile that gets used for the heart and the mind that's enlightened and the heart and the mind that's unenlightened. And that has to do with fire, right? Fire burning is the heart and mind that's unenlightened. Whereas it's burnt, so the fire burns and it burns up fuel, right? It's feeding on the fuel. Feeding on, you know, in terms of the citta being impassioned, probably feeding on junk food. You know, junk food, right? And it keeps feeding on it, and a fire is not calm and peaceful and cool and chilled out. It's dancing, it's agitated, it's wild, it's hot, it's burning, yeah? And then when someone or whatever, it just happens that the fuel's not being added to the fire goes down, doesn't it? It consumes the fuel that's there, and with no more fuel, it starts to go down, goes lower. At some point, there's only coals left, and if there's continued not feeding it any fuel, it eventually goes out and gets cool. Nibbana, that's what Nibbana means. It means cool. The Pali word Nibbana that gets used for enlightenment means cool. When the citta is not consuming junk food, when it's not being fed that nutriment or that fuel, that food, it calms down. It cools, chills out. It's peaceful, settled, smooth. And so looking at the path in this way, we really can take kind of the self out of it quite a bit and just consider, what is the citta feeding on? Is it health food or is it junk food? And depending on what it's being fed on, it will be affected by that. The citta is very open and sensitive. Again, like a little kid, open, sensitive, receptive. Feed it good food and it will become healthy and strong and grow and have the potential to realize its own kind of salient qualities, which are brightness, openness, sensitivity, sympathetic awareness. These are the qualities, these are the inherent qualities of the citta. It can know these, but not when it's impassioned and going for the junk food. McDonald's, yeah, that'll taste good. Well, we know what happens if you eat too much McDonald's, right? If you saw that movie, you know, the movie about the guy who ate McDonald's for a month, right? He almost died. He got sick and he almost died. Well, the citta gets sick when it only tries to feed on junk food. So there's the talk, right? There's kind of like it in a nutshell. And now we'll maybe flesh this out a bit by looking at the four different kinds of nutriment that the Buddha talked about. But that's pretty much it. The four different kinds of nutriment are food, sense contact, volitional formations, or I saw another one which was good, intellectual intention. Isn't that good? Intellectual intention. And then the fourth food is consciousness, sense consciousness itself. So food. We have to eat to sustain this life, don't we? There's no getting around it. We have to consume this type of nutriment to stay alive and to stay healthy. The question for us as practitioners is whether our eating is impassioned or not, if there's passion in the eating or not. Basically, is the chitta fired up around the eating, right? Oh yeah, that new restaurant opened. Oh, it'll be great. We'll do that. It'll be really good. Or I'm going to cook this thing. It's going to taste so good. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Gets fired up, gets impassioned around it. When we aren't mindful of food and don't consider where it comes from, what it takes to get to us, what impact eating has on what we eat, how we eat, what impact that has on the world, etc. When we don't consider food in this way, it's just a commodity. And it's just something for the chitta to consume. Oh, that'll be good, right? You go towards that. It becomes just a way to gratify sense pleasure. When we do consider food, what it takes to grow it, what it takes to get to us, how the food we eat impacts the world, when we do consider that, then we're much more inclined to, well, let's just eat enough, just enough to keep this body healthy. Doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to be highfalutin, doesn't have to even be that much, just enough to maintain the health of this body so that we can continue to practice. In this way, the chitta is not inflamed, like, oh boy, that'll be good. You can feel that kind of, it's impassioned, full of passion. And when when anything is full of passion, especially a lot, that self, that reflective quality gets lost. It can't reflect on, how's this going to be? How's this going to be for me? Is it going to make me feel good? Again, how is this for the world? That gets lost. When we're impassioned about food, that all goes out the door and we're just like, yeah. I love being on retreat, you know, over time, maybe a little bit longer retreat. Over time, the mealtime just, at least for me, my relation to it really shifts from kind of, oh boy, to just, oh, it's time to eat. It's time to go nurse the body. And oh, it's so nice to me that the oh boy fades out. That fire cools. And it's just very simple. Doesn't matter what's being served. Oh, I like, right? Have you ever been on a retreat, you look at the meal board, right? That's passion. How about just, okay, time to feed the body. Ah, no passion. Chitta's not inflamed. It's easeful. It can be just as easeful as in the middle of the sit that one was just sitting before they went to lunch on retreat. Just stays cool. Ah. of course, there's, you know, nutritious food and there's junk food. And when we eat nutritious food, the body is satisfied. It's getting what it needs, getting like the minerals and the right kind of calories, et cetera, et cetera. And when we eat junk food, the body isn't satisfied. So it tries to eat more of it because it's trying to get satisfied. It needs nutriment. It's like, so we eat junk food and the body's kind of like, I still need it. But if we're eating junk food, it just goes for the junk food again, which still doesn't satisfy the body. And then we're left in this kind of perpetual state of reaching out, of trying to get this need met. Yeah. We're going to revisit this later. This is important, what happens when we try to feed on junk food, whether literally by eating it and trying to feed the body with it, or in these other ways that we're going to talk about, this cycle of trying, going for the wrong thing, looking for what's going to be nourishing, going to the wrong place, not finding it, trying more at the same place, still not finding it. Sound familiar? Samsara. That's samsara. So food, gotta eat it, but does it have to be part of this impassioned citta that's looking for sense contact as a way to feed itself, which it's never gonna get? Which brings us to sense contact, the second type of nutriment. Contact at our sense doors, our six sense doors, five of the body and one of the mind, is always happening. Well, not always. The 4 hours of dreamless sleep at night, it's not happening. That's why we rest. Do you know that? That's why you actually rest. Everything shuts off. There's no sense door contact at all. Sometimes it's called poor person's nirvana. We get a little taste for 4 hours. But other than that, the sense contact is always happening. We can't turn it off. We can't stop it. But whether we try to use this sense contact as nutriment for the citta or not, that is up to us. So the sense contact is going to happen. But whether we are looking towards that sense contact as nutriment, food for the citta, that we can determine, that is up to us. So when the citta is impassioned for sense contact, that's where it goes. It just goes towards it. Again, that little kid, impassioned by the candy, by the bright colors and the memory of the sweet in its mouth, like, it just goes for it, goes out for it. And the citta feeds on it. It literally tries to feed on sense contact. It tries to derive its nutriment from it. Right? All advertisement is meant to support this, just this. Going out. It doesn't matter what the advertisement is, as long as it gets our attention. It doesn't matter what that candy is or what it tastes like. It's just the bright wrappers, and it gets the little kid's attention and goes for it. Advertisement is just meant to get our attention. Oh, that'll be good. The citta becomes impassioned, full of passion. Want that. That'll be good. That'll fulfill me. And so when the citta is impassioned, it rushes out the various sense doors to the sense contact. And feeds on them, feeds on it, on the contact. There's a simile a sutta, Nisamyutta Nikaya, 35.247, about a simile of these six animals. Like if you catch them and then you tie them to the post, or is it anyways, you catch them and then you let them go, they're going to run. They're going to go towards their prospective places. Like they say, like the if you catch a crocodile, it'll run to the water. If you catch a monkey, it'll run to the woods. And if you catch a mouse, it'll run to the field. You know, it'll go towards that place. Chitta goes out the sense door. It's a sense door to sense objects, to that place. Out the eye door to sights. Out the nose door to smell. Out the tongue door to taste, etc., etc. That's where I'll get fulfilled. That'll be good. And because of ignorance, because the chitta, when the chitta is ignorant and doesn't know any better, it's addicted. We are addicted to sense contact. Have you ever been on retreat? You go on retreat and it's a severe sense contact deprivation, right? A lot of what we're used to kind of leaning on and distracting is gone. It's very stark and remote in that way. So what happens? You see yogis like standing in front of the notice board, just like anything, taking, you know, the cleaning fluid and reading the back of it. Oh, what company is this? Oh, look, just for some sense contact, just to have something to connect with. Doing walking meditation, all of a sudden looking around. Why? Something to contact, something to get that hit, something to feed on. Look at that, oh, that tree. Uh-huh. I love it when you see yogis standing in front of the bulletin board. It's like you could just see it. They're, you know, you talk about impassioned in a way. You can tell they're kind of oblivious to everything around them, just like just something to get contact. This sense contact is junk food to the chitta. It doesn't nourish it. Doesn't do it. Not being nourished, it wants more in an attempt to be fed and to be nourished. Of course we want to be nourished. The heart, mind, the chitta, it wants to feel nourished and fed and full. But through ignorance, it doesn't know the right way to do it. Keeps going out to sense contact. So there's that cycle again. Looking for what's nourishing, feeding on it, not getting nourished, through ignorance, not knowing a different way, going for more. What's even more about sense contact, just like, you know, the kind of food we eat, you know, it all has residue, even just like regular food. You eat a carrot and it's got like fiber and stuff, and you know, you have to eliminate it. So there's always residue to any kind of food. But with junk food, there's definitely junky residue, right? Well, with sense contact, there's also residue. Any kind of sense contact, there's going to be residue. Any kind of nutriment, right? This is a sense contact. It's the second type of nutriment. Any kind of nutriment, there's going to be residue. And when you think about some of the sense contact we go for, really like intense stuff, intensity, phones, right? Ping, ping, ping. That kind of contact, what's the residue of that? The residue is jangle, being jangled, right? That's the residue. That's what we get from that kind of contact. All contact has residue. Kind of imprints on us. We get inured to it in a way. And the citta kind of gets formed or deformed. It gets formed for better or for worse through this contact and its residue. You know, like maybe, again, maybe a little kid, it's like, well, we know that they're going to get formed by the other little kids they hang out with, right? We know that. We know that about children, how open and vulnerable they are. So there's this sense of like, oh, you know, we want that child to play with kids that are nice and sweet and, you know, not harsh and rough or whatever, right? Because we know they will be formed by that. Well, the citta is the same way. It's going to get formed for better or for worse by what it's consuming. And when it consumes contact, that's very jangly or intense, it's going to get jangly and intense. So if sense contact can't properly feed the citta, then what can? Right? That's the next important question. Then what? Okay, enough of what's not going to feed it. What can, though? The citta gets actually proper nourishment by being able to reflect on and know, experience its own salient qualities. Sympathetic and sensitive awareness. Citta can, that's what it is. The Brahmaviharas, this sympathetic, just naturally sympathetic relationship to the rest of the world. Someone's happy, the citta is like, if it's not impassioned, if it's not been feeding on junk food, someone's happy, the citta's like, it brightens. Mudita. It's natural. It's not something you have to like procure for your citta. It's there. It just needs to be fed properly. Someone's suffering and upset, the citta's like, oh, compassion. It's natural. It's a salient quality of it. You don't have to procure that. You don't have to get it. It's already there. You just have to feed it. A refined and peaceful state of equipoise, equanimity. Ah. The ability to just really be calm and relaxed. Not so swayed by what's going on around it, right? Remember, sense contact keeps happening, but no, don't need to go out after it. Can just stay right here. When we can inhabit these spaces with the citta, it feeds on this. This is what nourishes the citta, its own inherent qualities. It just has to not be distracted from them. It has to just hang out in them. And in that, it grows like confident in its own nature. We get to actually, we start to know where our treasure is. Oh, it's right here. It's right here. There's a sutta. I don't know the name of it or where it is, but there's a sutta where it talks about like someone living in a hovel, like they're very poor and hardly anything to eat, but buried just underneath the floor of their hovel is this rich treasure, and they don't know it, and they're living impoverished. When in reality, right there, right next to them, is this huge treasure. This is the simile for the treasure is the citta. It's its own, these qualities, you know, you could say are in us. We just have to stop leaving them behind and looking elsewhere. It's right here. You don't have to prove yourself to get these. These are inherent in you, in your sentientness. And these qualities are self-generated. They don't need any outside contact in order for them to be or to be strengthened. They just need our attention. This is the health food for the citta. It sustains itself. And in sustaining itself and in being able to do that, it starts to lose its appetite for junk food. I don't know. I don't need to do that anymore. Because everything I need, my treasure is right here. It's right here. I know it's right here because I can feel it. Just before meditating earlier, I was just sitting in the teacher room there. Just nice, sitting on the couch, not doing anything. Windows open, kind of listening to the wind in the trees, some noise, cars, looking out. And reflecting on that and knowing that, like, oh, this is good. I know this feeling. Yes, oh, it's calm, it's peaceful, it's content. I don't want anything else right now. Happy to be right here. Not just happy to be right here, but also know this is home. This is where the good stuff is. And then it's like, just, right? Because these are habit patterns. Oh, maybe I should go in the library and check out that book that someone told me about. Yeah, I wonder if they have that here. Right? Contact. Oh, that book. Oh, that'd be cool. Look at that. It's like, no. This is good. Let's just stay here. Don't need to do that right now. Don't need to feed on that right now. Let's continue to feed on this peacefulness, on this contentness, on how this feels in the body. Smooth, easeful. Oh, maybe I should text that person. I need to connect. I need to follow up with that thing that we talked about. No. So like the passion flares up. This for sense contact, it flares up, right? Because that fire's still going. We've been feeding it for a long time. It's not just going to go out overnight. So these passions flame up. Oh yeah, I'll text them. I'll take care of that, and then I'll have to do it later. Okay. No, stay with this. Stay with this. And as we keep doing this, again, slowly over time, we lose the appetite for this passion and going outward to try to get satisfied. I don't know if anyone's ever not eaten sugar for a while. Yeah, like after a while, not long, maybe a month, 6 weeks. Not so great. Even if you taste it, it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird. That's kind of a weird sensation. Yeah, we start to lose our appetite for these things. The passion for trying to find nutriment in sense contact begins to fade and cools. The citta goes from being on fire, impassioned and being on fire, to being cool. Again, this is what's being pointed to with the use of fire and extinguishing of the fire through not feeding it fuel, right? The fire going completely out is called nibbana. So we're really like right in the heart of the Buddha's liberation teachings with this, with nutriment. It's really very, very What? It's hard when the words go. Just, yeah, we're right in the heart, very close to the center of these liberation teachings. I don't know if you've ever heard like the classic early Buddhist sequence for liberation is dispassion, cessation, nibbana. Have anyone ever heard that? Those three words used in a row? Dispassion, cessation, nibbana. Yeah. Dispassion. Passion goes down. Cessation. The citta stops. It ceases going out into the world of sense contact. In doing so, there's no more fuel put on the fire. It's able to reflect back on its own salient qualities. Bright, open, peaceful, sensitive. And in doing that, and then settling back in that, feeding on that, growing into that, the end result, the natural end result is then dovetailing with nibbana, cooled out, completely chilled. Okay, let's do one more. The volitional formations or intellectual intentions. This is the third kind of food that the Buddha talked about. So this is an aspect of the mind that does things, figures things out, gets things done, and it kind of drives forward in life, right? This is we drive forward with the intellect, right? We've been trained. If you've been to public school, you've been trained to drive, move through life leading with your intellect, with the manos, not with the citta, right? Not with what does this feel like? Is this actually good for me? No, we lead with the intellect. And so just like with food, like we have to eat food, and just like with that, with this, yeah, we use this part of our mind sometimes. It's not problematic necessarily. You know, you might have even used it like figuring out, well, what's the best way to get to CIMC tonight? Let's see, what is it going to be, rush hour? So maybe I'll take that road. But no, I heard they're doing construction on that, so I'll go this way. Right? That's using that part of your mind. Oh, when do I need to leave? Okay, how much time do I need to take? Yeah, this is that figuring out part of the mind, and it's useful in certain arenas, right? Someone figured out how to span this space with the right kind of timbers, the right size and shape, so that they carried the load so it doesn't crash in on us. This is good. This is good that someone used that part of the mind, right? It's got its places. But just like with food, we can also engage with this from an impassioned place as well. And that's when we're trying to feed on it. Our chittas are really indoctrinated into being kind of inflamed and impassioned with this part of the mind, figuring it out. It's called, in Pali, mano sanchetana. And it's something like this. Okay, I need to get this done, and well, how should I do that? Okay, well, I'll figure that out, and then I'll have to take care of this because, well, that needs fixing, but then I'll have time to tend to this because this situation needs attending, but then I have to figure that out. Sound familiar? Mano sanchetana, just driving forward, incessant, impassioned. When I get that done then, you know that one? Yeah, mano sanchetana, I'll get this done then. But of course, once it's done, because we're feeding on it and we're impassioned with it, then there's, well, then I'll get this done then. I'll get this done then only brings us to, I'll get this done then. That's where it gets us. I'll get this done then. And we stay in that, just kind of driving forward. I'll be able to rest when. I'll be able to rest when we follow that, when we feed on that, gets us, I'll be able to rest when. That's where it gets us to. It doesn't get us to rest. It gets us to, I'll be able to rest when. Yeah. And just like with food, junk food, just like with contact, it doesn't work. We don't get there. And we keep using this part of our intellect to try to figure things out and try to arrange things. And okay, then we keep doing that. And it doesn't work. And we keep doing it again. See, here's this cycle again that I was pointing to. We get stuck in this cycle and we keep feeding on this junk food. There's no rest in this. There's no rest in this. We don't find rest in this. All we find is more getting things done. What needs to get done? Can we learn to trust in the citta that can be settled and peaceful and in the present moment, right? Its own salient quality. Can we trust, learn and trust that from that place we'll know what needs to be done? We will be able to get what needs to be done, but it won't be crazed. It'll be easeful. So I think I'll stop there because I should. It's quarter after. Thanks everybody here. Thanks everyone at home. Nice to be with you. Take care.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.